makes you feel safe. Well, I've got my dressing gown. Well, really, it's Sophie Thomas's dressing gown. Thank you, Sophie. And it makes me feel safe. And I feel safe, really cosy. I sometimes wear my dressing gown, of course, in the house, not on the street. And I just feel safe. Well, a time when I didn't feel safe, I heard it during the night. It was an alarm. And to me, it sounded a bit like this. Extremely loud and unnecessary, basically. I fell asleep in my bed in my flat, and this sound was late at night. It was the fire alarm. And if you've ever lived in halls of residence or flats with the same fire alarm, that it just magnifies. The sound was absolutely terrifying, and that was what I was living out. I woke up and I had a funny feeling in my stomach. I was nervous, I was a bit worried, and I didn't feel safe. In Psalm 46, in the Old Testament, that we're going to look at more in more detail later on, it talks about another loud noise being form of a storm on the water. And the writer that writes Psalm 46 talks about high waves in the sea. They roared and they foamed. And it says the waves roared. Imagine a lion roaring, a group of lions, a pride, roaring together. They might have sounded like a lion. The storm in Psalm 46 is loud. And also the waves in Psalm 46, they foamed. The tall waves broke and they crashed into the stone, high into the air. And the sound was terrifying. Well, in Psalm 46, it reminds us that God is our help. It says God is our refuge, which is another word for a hiding place. And it says we can go to him and ask for a place to hide, to feel safe and be safe. If we ask God to be our safe place, our refuge, then we can have a safe place. He can take care of us when we go through difficult times at home, at work, in Lutterworth, when we're going through hard things in our life. I wonder how God has helped you over lockdown. You might have come with your family, with your bubble, into church, into the actual church building today. Why don't you let them know later? Or if you're joining online, why don't you tell us over the coffee Zoom meeting after? Or tell someone in your family. Or you might be thinking, how can God be my safe place? We all need reminding that God can be our safe place. So let's find out how God can be our safe place when Graham comes to talk to us later. Okay, we're going to go on to our action song now. And it's "The Wise Men Built the House Upon the Rock."
And the house on the rocks stood firm. The foolish men built. right. Well, thank you, Rhiannon, for speaking to us about Psalm 46 and introducing us to our theme today. Well, we're going to take an opportunity to come to God in confession now. We all know that we hurt others, we hurt God sometimes with our actions and with our words and deeds. So let's use these words to say sorry. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Well, the good news is that God is a forgiving God. He loves us and calls us into his presence. And because of his forgiveness, we can join in with the heavenly sound, singing, Holy, Holy Lord. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to sing and worship using some sung worship. So can I encourage you to stand if you're able and to join in as best you can here in the building and join in at home as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord.
Holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come. God of glory, you're so worthy, all the saints bow down. Holy is your name in all the earth, righteous are your ways, so merciful. Everything you've done is just and true. Holy, holy, God of you. Holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come. God of glory, you're so worthy, all the saints bow down. Holy is your name in all the earth, righteous are your ways, so merciful. Everything you've done is just and true. Holy, holy God in you.
Worship will rise to you, and if we
we could sing forever, then our songs would be to you.
Thank you, God, that those songs speak of your greatness. Thank you, God, that we have the privilege of worshiping you together today. Meet us now by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do take your seats if you're here in the building. Well, are you expectant this morning? We're now going to turn our attention to the Bible, to the Word of God. Mary Oldham is going to read Psalm 46 for us, and then we're going to go straight into hearing from Graham. Can I encourage you to not switch off just because we're watching a video and they're not here in front of us, whether you're at home or in the building, but are you expectant to hear from the Word of God today and how it might impact your life? Are we ready? Yes, okay, let's go for it.
Reading today is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose stream made glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fail. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hello everybody, Graham here. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 46 today. And just two verses from Psalm 46, 2 and 3. But before I go into that, I've got a question for us. Believing in God is one thing, and knowing Jesus is the way to the Father is another. But how do you transform belief into fearless faith? How do you transform belief into fearless faith? Okay, let's read the psalm. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Oh, that's talking about something massive and cataclysmic going on in the world, something really scary. But did you notice it started with a therefore? And the golden rule is, if there's a therefore, what's it there for? And so verse 1 says this: God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. That's where we're getting our surging waters from. Surging waters. So for this talk, surging water is a terrifying thing. It's a negative thing. And we need to see, how can we overcome surging waters? Okay, on March the 11th, 2011, an earthquake measuring 9 on the Richter scale, which is massive, hit eastern Japan. And the earthquake, it did a lot of damage, because that is a massive earthquake, that is. But the ensuing tsunami that followed was massively devastating. And in all, 28,000 people died. It was a terrible thing. And it just so happened there was a documentary on that this week. And it was so complicated what happened. First of all, they've got 62 miles off the shore, 100 kilometers off the shore. There's two tectonic plates, okay, which are pushing together. Now, if they push and crumple and go up, it causes something like the Himalayas. But they don't do that there. One actually slides underneath the other. But they don't go perfectly. They kind of grate and grind, because imagine the millions of tons of weight and force as they're going. And what happened next to Japan is they say, although it has been crunching and grinding, so they have loads of earthquakes, for hundreds of years, which is a relatively small length of time, but for hundreds of years, they reckon that it's dug in and it's built up like a spring, and then all of a sudden it went twang like that, and it boomed. And as it did that, billions of tons of water were shot vertically up. And there was a wave that went in both directions. One went out, just out into the sea, and the other one went straight towards the land at an unbelievable speed, like 800 kilometres an hour. Seriously fast. And as it gets into shallower water, it slows right down and pushes the wave up, because the wave is very small when it's zooming across the sea. And they calculated that the wave was 10 metres high. Now, that is pretty terrifying. But all around the cities and towns, they had 10-metre high tsunami walls. And yet, they were completely breached. What was that all about? Why was that? And it was very complex. They say it's not like a tidal wave. It's actually a shock wave, but in water. And cars and boats were left on top of some buildings that were 30 metres high. What? How does that happen? It's just this cataclysmic thing that went on. But also the earth gave way. And they say all the sea, the eastern shore and the mountains even dropped by a metre. So there's this double whammy thing going on. It's just really incredible. And there was this terrible, terrible death toll. Now, when we're reading Psalm 46, it is painting a picture of total devastation, a terrifying devastation. That's why I looked and was very interested in this tsunami and what went on there, because it's almost spelt out here. And although the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar, and there's this immense surging. You know, it's this perfect storm of what's terrible that can happen in the world, physically in the world, but also in our lives. What the all sorts of things that can happen in our lives. On Rossilli Beach, which is this beautiful beach on Gower. It's 4 miles long, perfect, gorgeous golden sand. It's a beautiful place, beautiful, beautiful place. I was going out swimming. This must be at least 15 years ago. We used to take the church, the community church, camping. And for many years, we went out, a huge group. I think we did it for 17 years. And we would get 75 people going along and camping, all these crazy people. But we'd be on the beach, and certainly then I felt quite confident in swimming. I was quite a strong swimmer. This particular time I got a wetsuit on, which gives you good buoyancy. I got a full face mask with a snorkel. I got flippers on. And I was out in the sea, and it's a surfing beach, nice big waves. And this particular day, there were big waves. The surf was up, and it was fantastic. And I went in, and it was amazing. It's really good. But I realized that the tide was going out, and the current is terrifying. And it was dragging me out. Strong swimmer, so I'm swimming back into shore. But as you get close to the shore, the waves get bigger and bigger. And it was heavy. And do you know what? I was pounded and started to really struggle. And it pounded me and I went under. And I just about managed to get to the surface, and the next wave pounded me down. And it was getting brutal. And it got to the point my mask was just ripped off. I lost one of my fins. And I was really struggling. Really struggling, and I wasn't breathing by this time. I was just underwater constantly. And then I finally managed to just touch the bottom. I realized I just touched the bottom, and I was able to get above water and get ashore. And I was gasping, and I got on the shore and I on my hands and knees, and I got up. As I stood up, there was a semicircle of lifeguards around me. They saw this Burke getting pounded in the waves, and they were coming. They were coming for me. You know, it was quite amazing. But yeah, so surging waters is very real, very physical, but there's also massive things in life like surging waters. And how on earth can we turn the terror of the surging waters in our lives into fearless, faith. How does that happen? Well, do you know what? When we've had fearful times, we're in good company. The disciples in the boat with Jesus, there's a raging storm going on, and they're terrified. They are terrified. And it gets to the point where they're shouting at Jesus, "Don't you care if we drown?" This is a terrifying event. These are people who are used to being in boats. And so I'm just aware that they know what a bad situation is when they're out at sea, and they were in one. And then Jesus rebukes the storm. "Quiet, be still." And the disciples go from being terrified of the storm to being terrified of the guy in their midst, Jesus. And that's when they realize how massive and powerful Jesus is. And do you know something? We need that narrative. They needed it as part of their training. But we need it as well. We need to be able to see that. We need to understand that Christ is with us. He's in the boat. When Jesus is in the boat, there's one bigger than the storm. And do you know what? We have the whole of this to help us. We have all the revelation that is in this. They didn't. They'd seen and heard incredible things with Jesus. But we see the end of the story. We know what is going on. And, you know, I take that even further. I think about the denial that Peter has. He denies that he knows Christ three times. And it's big. It's a big story. And it's important. He needed to go through that. And we needed to see it as well. But, you know, Jesus, when he's saying, "I will never forsake you. Even if it takes me to my grave, I will not forsake you." And it wasn't true. And I think his intentions were great. He knew a lot. He understood a lot. But at the end of the day, he was still acting under his own strength. He didn't realize at that point that all the fullness of God in its readiness will fill our lives. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is prepared and wanting to fill our lives. And we get that with the full narrative. Peter wasn't there yet. And actually, he wasn't in a position to be able to give his life away because he had got a very important job to do. So unfortunately for him, it gets recorded in all four Gospels. It's really not fair. His reinstatement is just in the Gospel of John. But even that comes after a time of the natural, the time of flesh. They've seen everything. They know that Jesus is alive again. He's risen from the dead. But it's a bit of a lull going on. So they just say, well, Peter says, "Let's go fishing." It's like, let's go back. Let's go back to where we were. Let's do what we know. And that's no good. That really is no good. And then Jesus turns the whole thing around, doesn't he? He fills that net with fish. For them, it's been a disaster. Jesus fills the net. And even right at the end, when the 11 remaining disciples are told by Jesus to meet him, they go up the mountain and he blesses them. They see him and they worship him. But then we're told, and yet some doubted. Which ones? This is the 11. So which ones were doubting? You know, we need to be able to hang on to everything that God has to offer to be able to make our faith strong enough to get us through those massive storms in life. Even though the ground fall away beneath our feet, and the mountains quake at the surging of the water. Do you know, it is possible to have a faith that can stand up in all of that. And it's just found in Christ and in knowing him. And just speaking with Charlie this week, you know, we need to be people who read our Bibles. We need to know what is in here. And just to mention one more kind of cataclysmic story, a huge event. In 2015, 21 young Coptic Christian men were marched down onto a beach and were told that they got to renounce their faith in Jesus or die. And do you know what? They wouldn't renounce their faith. They got a faith that was rock solid. They totally, totally trusted Jesus. They knew their God. They knew their salvation. And do you know what? They were brutally murdered by ISIL on the beach. And I find that incredible that anybody has a faith like that. It's just a disgusting atrocity. But there was another thing as well. One of the mums of these young men, she knew, because she loved Jesus, that she got to forgive them. So she said, the only way I can do that is going to the end of the book, going to the back of the book, going right to the end, going to Revelation and seeing that, yes, yes, this is true. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. There is salvation. My lad is in glory with Jesus. I don't need to hate. I can forgive. And it's just wonderful. It's just absolutely amazing. She knows her Saviour. She knows the full extent of the narrative. So she's able to forgive and live her life. And it is just wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. We have a God in heaven who loves us and who brings salvation, who has sorted things for us. We can stand when the surging waters are coming to us. Do you know, the bottom line always is there is eternity. There is paradise with God. There is a new heaven and a new earth going to be completely created for when Jesus has fulfilled everything. When he comes back, new heaven, new earth. You know, I always think this, you know, we can see some beautiful views, beautiful, amazing things we can see in this creation. So many moving things, even looking through George's massive telescope and seeing Saturn. Seeing it, not a photograph, but seeing it and being moved. It's there. It's incredible. But I'm still looking at a broken, broken planet, broken creation through broken eyes. That's what I'm seeing. And one day it'll all be brand new. Oh, how incredible. How incredible. So the bottom line is we have salvation. The next line up is this. God answers prayer. He does. He answers prayers. Doesn't always answer them as we maybe would like. You know, prayer is complex. It has to be for his glory. And we want it to be for his glory. But he always answers prayer in our best interest because he loves us so much. And it may be carrying us through the storms. You know, that may be as much as the prayer is, but if we can get carried through the storms, thank you, Jesus. The parable of wise and foolish builders, they are two very different guys, but they both have storms. The wise man builds his house on the rock. The rock is hearing the words of Jesus and putting them into practice. And when you live like that, when the storms come, your life will not cave in. It will not collapse. God will sustain you. Other times we just get what we ask for. We think, what? God, you're amazing. We get what we hope for. Oh, Lord. Sometimes there's even better outcomes as well. It's just incredible. But God loves us. But in the world, in our lives, we will always have struggles. But in Christ, we stand and we get through those. John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Oh, Lord God, you are amazing. So in conclusion, the creation is broken. It is. The whole of creation is broken. It's waiting to be redeemed. It's groaning. That's what we're told, but it is broken and we are broken. And while we're still in this body, we will always be broken. But God, who is perfect and loves us, has given us the solution. And that's Jesus. Jesus is our solution. So transforming belief into fearless faith, we need to know Jesus more and receive God in all his fullness. Jesus said, if you love me, the Father will love you, and he will send to you the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And he said, and if you love me, my Father will love you, and we will come and make our home with you. God, in all his fullness, comes and dwells with us. So even though the mountains quake with the surging of the waters, we don't need to, because we've got Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for our faith. Lord, would you turn that faith into a mighty, mighty warrior that upholds us, that enables us to face all the storms, all those surging waters. Lord God, help us. Give us revelation. Thank you for your love and your grace. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Graham, for sharing that with us. And one of the last bits of the Bible that Graham mentioned was John 14, verses 25, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he talks about sending the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it says, and he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. Graham's encouraging us that when the surging waters come, that we can stand firm when we know Jesus and we know the Father's love. That's an active process. It's not a passive one. Yes, we need to be involved in opening the Bible and learning, just as Jesus was encouraging his disciples to be active in their journey of faith. But he also knew that they couldn't do it alone. That they needed the Holy Spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit as well, to teach us. And in verse 27, Jesus says, he will give us his peace. So let's just wait a moment and let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and do what Jesus has promised, to be our comforter, our advocate, to teach us the things so that we may know the Father and be secure in his peace. Come, Holy Spirit. Wherever we are, in this building, at home, come, Holy Spirit. Inspire us by your word to us. And we pray for those who are feeling the surging waters. And we pray for your peace. That while we're surrounded by chaos, your peace would still our souls and help us look to you and to eternity. We're going to continue in our response and use the words of the Apostles' Creed, not just because that's what we do, but because this creed lays out the whole story of the gospel from creation to eternal life. So I wonder, be open to the Holy Spirit pointing out a line from this creed and take that as God speaking to you, engaging you to go, I want to teach you something about me through this. So it could be talking about creation, and actually that's something that you're going to go away and open the Bible and delve into more this week. It could be looking at Mary and Christ's birth or his death and Pontius Pilate. It could be something like that, or it could be about the resurrection and all that that means. So as we say these words, be expecting God to speak to you and to point out a line and encouraging you to delve into his word this week. Let's say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's worship God for all he has done and all he has spoken to us today, and allow him again to be the focus of our lives. Let's sing Jesus All in All and Jesus Be the Center.
Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. For it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only in your will that I am free. Jesus, oh, for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. All of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. All of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. For it's only in your will that I am free. Yes, it's only in your will that I am free. Jesus, oh, for Jesus, never hope to be. Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light, Jesus. Jesus, be the center, be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in excels, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus. For it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only in your will that I am free. Jesus, oh, for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be.
Holy Lord, we pray for our benefice of Lutterworth, Coatsbatch and Bidderswell. We pray for our farming community and rural businesses which continue to struggle financially during the pandemic. We pray for the shops and businesses in Lutterworth, particularly those that still cannot fully open their doors. We give thanks for the volunteers in our community who have been looking after vulnerable people and those who have been struggling to make ends meet. We continue to pray for our care homes and our health service. Lord, we pray that many of the clubs and societies and leisure activities, which are so vital to our mental health, may soon be able to resume meeting in a safe way. King of all the earth, hear our prayer. We pray for our government and those who have been entrusted to lead the nations of the United Kingdom. We know that they have often been forced to make difficult and uncomfortable decisions which affect the life of every citizen in our land. We ask that you will, through your Holy Spirit, influence their thoughts as they seek to restart the economy without further endangering lives. We pray for all those whose task it is to administer justice and uphold the law. We pray for our law courts as they work through a huge backlog of cases, and for our police service who carry an extra burden of responsibility for keeping us safe at this time. King of all the earth, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for the world, for the poorest nations of the world, who have not got the same resources as us to fight COVID-19. We pray for all those people who live in overcrowded conditions, those who must continue working to feed their families, even though this places them in danger of becoming seriously ill. We pray for health workers and charity workers who are working tirelessly with minimal resources in those poorer nations. We pray for refugees and stateless people driven from their homes by conflict, starvation, or racial discrimination. We pray for peace and justice for everyone, regardless of race, religion, or culture. King of all the earth, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for all Christian people. Keep us united in your love. Help us to continue to grow in faith, to respect one another and encourage one another. Give us all the courage to share our faith and our experience of your love for us with everyone we meet. Help us to be open to new ideas and new ways of being the church, and that no matter how young or old we are, may we always be your faithful disciples and messengers. We give thanks for our church, that our church buildings are at last accessible to those who need them. And we thank you for those whose efforts have made and continue to make this possible. King of all the earth, hear our prayer. We pray for all those on holiday at this time, that wherever they have chosen to spend their holiday, they will find rest and refreshment after many months of difficulty and uncertainty. We pray for our children and young people that they may be able to return safely to school, colleges and universities. We pray for those looking for employment when so few jobs are available. We ask you to calm the fears of those who've been shielding for so many months as they venture out into their local community again. Help us as a church family to go on supporting and encouraging them. As your Christian family, we offer these prayers in Jesus' name, joining in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Charlie. I'm the vicar of Lutterworth with Coates, Batcher and Bitterswell. It's great to be together with at least some of you here in the building and connecting with many other people back at home. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you also for your patience today if you were at home with the technology. Something had come unplugged at the beginning of the service. Don't we all know how that feels? But we've got it working now, so I hope you've enjoyed being with us. This is the second of our in-person services, and we'd like to invite everybody who would like to come and be part of these services together. What you'll need to do is come and book either online or by ringing the church office so we can make sure that we don't have to send anybody away. So we continue our service at 10:30 on a Sunday morning, but also this afternoon and next week for the first time we have services in our sister churches in Bitterswell this afternoon at 4 p.m. and then in Coatsbatch Church next Sunday at 4 p.m. This will be a quieter service, and a great opportunity for us to begin gathering in those places too. But it's just been wonderful how many people have been able to join us. We'll be keeping streaming this morning service online for the foreseeable future. Also, after the service next week, there will be a Zoom call, so you can, especially if you're at home, it's a great chance to come and see people and to say hello. The other wonderful thing that is now changing is we now are able to marry people again in church. Yeah, okay, there better be more enthusiasm at the actual wedding than that, okay? Which means that I can now read the banns of marriage. That's the announcements of those who are going to be married. Each one of these is for the first time of asking, and if you know any reason in law why these persons may not marry, you are to declare it. Between Lewis Adam Leonard and Jennifer Caroline Allen, both of this parish, Mark Joseph Haberfield and Jane Karen Whitehouse, both of this parish. Craig John Philip Smith and Rebecca Ellen McIntosh, of this parish. Samuel David Albert Mark Deacon Pallett and Jessica Powell, both of this parish. And of Josephine Mary Logue and Jared Peter John Robinson, of the parish of North Kilworth. As I say, it's the first time of asking. Please let me know if you have any problems with those, legal problems with those marriages. But is it great to be able to look to the future again? And so I'm going to pray now for these couples as they prepare for their wedding and for all the other things that are going on at the moment. Let's pray. Father God, we give you great praise for everything that we have enjoyed, even in a time of difficulty. Help us to count our blessings. And as we've already prayed for those who found this especially difficult, we ask, Lord, your blessing on those who've had their weddings delayed because of this pandemic. And we pray for each one of these couples as they look to the future. Would you bless them in the preparations for that wedding day, for the celebrations on that day, and so much more for their married life together. Father God, thank you for the gift of marriage. And we pray for each one of those. And for each one of us, as we go away on holiday or as things begin to resume, Lord, we pray your continuing blessing, for you're a faithful God. May we find our refuge in you in the storms of life. Amen.
Well, it has been great to gather together, whether in the building or online, and I hope you've really got something out of our exploration of Psalm 46 today, and I hope that you will go away knowing God deeper and having fearless faith. Well, we're going to conclude by saying some liturgy together. It's just a short line. So I'm going to say, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.